set addresses the game, taking the basic principles of 101, adding in certain fundamental elements that will help your children learn, including colors, shapes, simple counting mechanisms. All of this will help them understand the basics of money and also help you learn it in the process.
Jenny Shannon, I have this tape. It is Dr. Ann Nevin, and Ann has a PhD in educational psychology. She is one of the leading experts on teaching special children how to learn faster. She's also a teacher of teachers here at Arizona State University.
us who are teachers, and those of us on earth that have come to Arizona State University and Western Mass campus are basically coming from the lower middle class and middle class, and they are teaching children without any personal experience of having been financially successful. So I think that it's one of those secret subjects that children of the rich learn, but children of the middle class and children of the poor don't have a chance to learn.
So today will be on the financial bent, and there are more, there are more important things in life than money. But as I said, everything that is important in life seems to be affected by money somehow or the other. So we're being kind of short takes, and we're being narrow if we can. So first of all, we go into the seven main intelligences that Gardner identified back in the 1980s. And one of the seven primary intelligences that Gardner from Harvard identified in the 1980s.
Something that everyone knows about, and that is the primal linguistic intelligence, which comes on from called word smart. And that's the kind of intelligence that we see when we learn how to read and speak and comprehend. So verbal linguistic is something that most kids get a lot of instruction on, and then they get tested a lot on.
That's a very, very, very important skill and intelligence to develop.
Absolutely. Can't really be a human being in the modern 1990s going into the 21st century without the ability to speak and to read.
That's correct. And the vision also not tell me that most of the IQ tests, when they say a person has a high IQ, isn't it? I've got a lot of verbal linguistic skills.
Absolutely right. And that's also true for the scholastic aptitude test that assess whether or not a student has a chance of being successful in college or higher education.
And number two is what?
Number two would be the mathematical intelligence, logical mathematical intelligence. That's the ability to compute and to think rationally and logically. Again, something that most educators are very, very solid in terms of assessing and being able to teach. Although, with the old idea of a fixed IQ, if this child didn't have an already established high IQ, then most teachers would not expect high performance in math for a student. So in some ways, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whereas with Gardner's idea about mathematical intelligence, it's something that can be developed as the child grows older.
I see. And number three?
Number three is something that is called spatial intelligence, and that's the ability to see with the mind's eye.
So it's another by brain, or the creativity, or be able to visualize with the mind.
Being able to visualize, being able to see inside of your mind without necessarily having an external model to check your vision with. So spatial intelligence is something that sounds special, and it is, because it's something that all of us have the ability to have that spatial intelligence, because we need it in order to negotiate our physical environment, to climb stairs, to climb a tree, to assess how far it is to stop something from where we see the light, and then being able to put the brakes on. Spatial intelligence is also something that architects have, that choreographers have, for example, in order to figure out how a group of people who are doing a dance on stage would look. And we usually see that in their mind's eye before actually being able to see it in the actuality.
So an architect is someone who can see a building, and the reason for architects is they also have very good verbal linguistic, which is number one, and also numerical, number two.
That's true.
And there's people who are great artists, but they lack number one and number two. They can just paint it, but I don't know if they can go with those guys. They probably just great stick color and that kind of sense.
That's a good analysis. So there are also for sure understanding that some of us will excel in one or more of the multiple intelligences. But the new thing, though, Robert, is that no one is fixed.
Right, so but also people who are more developed spatially, and most people are less developed physically. But then people who are very logical and linear, so they cannot picture them. And people who can play with all flakes or in their heads, and they can see everything, but they can't communicate.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Number four is what?
Number four is something that we probably experience every day. to try to get their children to be able to compete in the Olympics.
Sports like to be with Tiger Woods, you know, who's $91 million, and he's only 21 years old.
And Bobby comes back, he has the keys.
That's great. So that's the sports. Number six is what?
Number six is the ability to communicate and be with people, to understand people. It's called interpersonal intelligence, and the colloquial use of it is people smart.
So it's charismatic, lots of what you say something.
Charismatic people, I think of John F. Kennedy, for example, as being having a lot of charisma. Also, Martin Luther King is having a lot of charisma. Many of our leaders have interpersonal, I think, are so psychosocially gifted in the interpersonal intelligence.
Just going back to how this all relates, there's a lot of things at school when the class genius who was really mathematically brilliant and could read and write from the time they were born, but they also lack the ability to talk to other students.
And the ability to establish rapport with other people, which is the ability to put yourself in the other person's shoes. And there are other people who are considered interpersonally gifted, like Gary, for example, who could stop an entire nation by virtue of his gentleness. And that almost overturned a creative revolution without any bloodletting afterwards.
So number six, which is the interpersonal, is one person speaking or communicating in some form to another human being. And number seven is what?
Number seven is the ability to understand yourself. The psychological term is intrapersonal intelligence or self-smart. Being smart about your own emotions, being smart about your own ideas and ability to think, being smart about yourself and how you invade other people's space physically or give them space. So it's a whole conglomerate of understanding of yourself.
And what I say is, like I said, number six is how I speak to another human being. So number seven is how I speak to myself.
How I speak to myself, but also how I speak about myself.
That's what very well said. And we'll be getting into this because number seven to me is very important because when it comes to the idea of money, you said earlier the reason it's not taught in school because the subject of money is tremendous fear around it. And so we'll be going into, as far as intrapersonal, a lot of my thoughts, actions, and words, activities are within the subject called emotional intelligence.
That's right.
And so a lot of times when people are fearful, especially when it comes to money, they say, well, you play it safe. Now, as an investor, I have no problem playing safe, and even if I'm not investing, I haven't made much money. And so for me, the intrapersonal is a very important one because as an investor, it's not so much, we all experience fear. We all experience joy when we make money, and we all experience the absolute horrifying feeling or dejection or self annihilation of feeling stupid when you lose money. And as I say, it's not only what I say to myself, but what I say about myself when I win, when I lose, and when I experience fear and doubt. And that's why number seven, the interpersonal skills to me, if we're talking about money, actually impact the subject of intelligence and money very, very greatly. Because I've met many highly intelligent, so-called high IQ people who are very smart, but they have no guts when it comes to money.
That's a really good point. And in terms of helping us teach our children to be financially intelligent, one of the things that people who must overcome is their internal fear of letting their children know that they're afraid.
That's correct. And so instead of saying, I'm afraid, what you do is get kids warnings. Like, don't do that.
Right.
Don't take risk. Get a safe, secure job. Ride a Volvo. You know, ride with your helmet on. You know, people don't have to realize that they have to be in tune with is what emotion is then generating the thought, which generates the words which come from our mouths. And so that's why this number seven is my
developed the or cracked the code on the fixed approaches and said there are more than one. And just recently he has identified an intelligence which he calls naturalist intelligence. And he gives an example of a gifted person by the name of Charles Darwin, who understood his place, the place of human beings in the flora and fauna of the natural world. So naturalist intelligence is something that can be located in a specific part of the brain. It may be, or certainly somebody that is understands the effects of not paying attention to our environment.
And number nine, that intelligence I'd like to bring up is what we talked about coming up with the people of vision. And vision is what determines who a leader is and who a leader isn't. So what creates a leader is how far in the future a person can actually see. So they, one of the articles I read with Romans and Churchill, and guys like Buckminster are full of what made them great leaders was they could see into the future. And they estimated that Churchill could see in 200 to 300 years in the future. And this is what they think they as a person, an employee in a company, or as the president of a company, is how far in the future they can see. So most employees can only see 2 weeks ahead to the next paycheck. However, if you don't pay them, the clock is on stay there, they have to move on, because that's all they can see. So what they sort of really part of the development of a child or the nature of one or nature is what I call vision, because the farther they can see into the future or develop that intelligence, the better chance of success they have in life. Because, you know, you know, because in 1997, we heard about all the downsizing, and downsizing will continue to happen. Now, I won't go into why, but it has to do with mergers and acquisitions. Companies getting bigger, and every time a company gets bigger, they won't downsize people. So it will continue on because companies are getting bigger and small businesses are getting pushed out. There's 10% fewer small businesses in 1997 than they were 20 years ago.
So it's what I've never heard about what the future said about a typical career path for people in the 1990s going into the 21st century. It used to be on the platform when Future Shock 20 years ago said we can expect to have 3 careers, which was a shock for people 20 years ago.
Something for me. school develops you into becoming. real skill in is the creativity, which is oftentimes not being emphasized in school. A lot of artists don't really know. And so it's creativity. But that, then we have to manage what we earn.
That's right.
I see. That's the next step. Which is we need to know the difference between assets and liabilities.
That's the mandatory part of art. That's the kind of report card you have your job.
Which is the financial literacy. You know, when we talk about numerical or verbal literacy, we also need numerical or financial literacy. And that's when the child then starts filling out income, expense, what you invest in, which is an asset, and what your liabilities are, which is debt for consumer debt. You have to know, what's trying to explain to people is that your house is really a liability because it's going up the expense column. It may be a long-term investment, but in the short term, it's not. So it's teaching the child that the management of money is crucial, the importance of good management.
And so we are in our own example, where would comics books be? Would that be a liability? Would that be an asset or a liability?
Comic books,
yeah.
Comic books are expensive. You buy them with cash.
Right.
And they're a liability. You buy them with a credit card.
That's great.
And unfortunately, this much most of the stuff in stores is junk. Most of the shopping malls are filled with junk. In other words, they have absolutely less value the moment you're silly enough to buy the thing. So if you have a child right now who's a shopping center reader, you're having a great time hanging out shopping center, it's great to buy them at small the bank is going to send them a credit card. And they're going to put basically junk, shirts, t-shirts, CDs, stereo systems, TVs, like all that junk. Doodads, we call them, the game cash flow. And now train them to buy junk with their hard-earned time and money, what they spend their time and money to work for. They're now taking that work and basically throwing it into a junkyard or the trash heap. And that's very, very, from my point of view, poor value training. And that's where you need to come to the food essentials. So first is earning, second is management, third is investing. Now, the main reason people are not good investors goes not necessarily to intelligence number one or intelligence number two, it's actually fear of losing, which is intrapersonal. And it's that fear of losing that makes people wealthy investors. Now, I'll come up with one more thing. As an economist, a person studying economy, the definition of investment for business is different than investing as an individual. I won't get into all that. But most people consider themselves investors are not really investors. They're buying a stock of a company. They're just buying a stock. They're actually somewhat of a trader at that level. They're buying a share of a company which they have no control of. And even that's what the major positions have no control of, most public companies. And they actually have it's all financial planning, but it's not necessarily investing. And the reason vision is so important is because vision, which I say was number nine, only intelligence, was you invest for something that's going to happen in the future, so you have to buy something with the vision of actually continuing to produce, which will then make you more money into the future. But most people are actually buying on speculation, stock market going down, and that's, in that true economist term, that's not investing, that's a sort of buying and selling stuff.
Okay, Robert, just for a minute here, but stop for a minute so that we can get a little clarity about financial management. I'm still not clear about how you get a child to understand and how he or she is responsible for his managing of his finances.
I'm actually bringing that up because it's one of my weaker subjects. I get so excited about investing, that's where I make most of my money, and I forget about financial management. Financial management is vitally important because, as I've always said, it's not how much you earn, it's how much you keep. And so we're really training a child. Financial management is exactly what you said earlier about a report card. And financially, the report card is in the real world, is financial statements, is an income statement and a balance sheet. And if I had children, I would have a child put an audit once a week, so every Friday night or Saturday or Sunday. The child needed to submit how much money they earned with all their invoices and with all their expenses. And if they have a credit card, heaven forbid, it's a good time to start teaching them investing or consumption. You know, like if you go to school and you spend $20,000 on education, that's an investment with no guarantee of it coming back. And what consumption is, you sort of